Well, good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Turn to somebody and tell them, I am the light of the world.
I am the light of the world.
Uh-huh. I am the light of the world. And I can see it, too. You know, we sing in our song, I can see, when we sing, I behold the Christ in you. Here, the life of God I see. I can see a great peace, too. I can see you whole and free. That's powerful. And I see that in all of you. I feel that vibration this morning. Even those, my wonderful spirits that are in the upper room, I see you. Yes, I see you. And I feel your presence always. Well, it's that time. It's almost Christmas. It's almost Christmas. And this is the last, for now anyway, in our series on evolving into Christ consciousness. We started this series at the beginning of this month in the Advent season. And this is the fourth and final Sunday of Advent, the telling of the good news, you know, that there's a coming, the coming of this Christ spirit, this Christ light. It's almost here. And I thought it would be good for us to read the rest of the story. We've been working with the Christmas story, but the Advent part of it, the part that was telling of the coming, the part where the angel Gabriel was speaking to Mary, and I didn't read the story, also to Joseph as well, to tell them to be prepared, get ready, because there's a spirit that's getting ready to be born in you. And so today we're going to talk about that process of what happens that day when it finally arrives. And I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled, or in some scriptures it says registered. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. So everybody had to go back to their city of origin, you know, of birth, where they were born. So everybody went back to their city, which wasn't hard to do back in those days. Now that'd be kind of hard because we're so global. We're all over the place. But everybody went. This was the first call. And everybody went to each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And you remember when we talked a few weeks ago about this being from the house of David meant that you came from the lineage and the house of what? Oh, okay, so each of you are going to go back and get the series. I want you to read up on that. So my metaphysician should know that the house of David was the house of love, divine love, that Joseph came from love. And of course, it says that Jesus, and remember when we were talking, he was given the throne of David, that love would be the ruling force to guide his direction and his way and our way as well. So Joseph, his father, is also from the house of David. So he goes back to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room and no place for them in the inn. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom God is pleased." The shepherds said, while the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw that it was made known the saying which they had been given concerning this child, all who heard it wondered about what the shepherds had told them. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. So this story is so familiar to us. We hear it at Christmas time every year. And it's a powerful story, and it never gets old. And it's a story that we need to hear, especially at this time, since we could all use the gifts that this story speaks to. The gifts like peace on earth, right? And certainly some goodwill towards all people, all men, all women. Don't you think we need a little peace and some goodwill? Yes, this is the gift. That's great. But you know what? That's not the greatest gift that's given in this story, because those gifts are wonderful. But the more excellent one states this: "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now that's the ultimate gift. That's the gift that we should all be rejoicing and celebrating in, because that's the gift that's going to make the other gifts possible. See, when that Christ spirit is going to make peace on earth possible. That gift of the Christ that is born unto us this day is going to make the gift of goodwill towards all possible. Because Lord knows that, you know, it's a challenge to have some peace on earth, right? It's quite kind of challenging. It's hard to do this merely through our human will, through human consciousness, right? It's going to take something more divine. It's going to take something more spectacular and powerful to be able to do. Something that will speak to our spiritual nature. Have you ever tried to really love your enemies? It's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard. Let's be honest. It's hard. Okay? It's hard to do that. Have you ever tried to forgive the unforgivable? Or as you might see it, you know, as an experience or an offense that happens, this is unforgivable. Right? But have you tried to forgive the unforgivable? It's hard, isn't it? How about understanding? Have you tried to understand those that seemingly appear to have not a clue as to what's happening? And yet you're trying to understand, how can they think like that? Right? I mean, I had this conversation with my mom coming up in the car. How can they function like that? How can they do these things? How can you cut off food programs for children? And how can you not fund education for young ones? How can you do, where's the mind? Where's the understanding that enables them to do that? I don't get it. It's hard, isn't it? Yes, it's very hard. But that's because we are seeking and trying to do it in and of our own limited consciousness, from our own limited perspective, from that human consciousness, as opposed to this divine gift that is giving us. So peace on earth and goodwill towards all people, your enemies included, those who you don't understand included. That means we got to pray for everybody. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Everybody needs some prayer. Because it's only going to take prayer that's going to change the internal functioning of some folks, including us. Because I've been trying to change myself on my own, by myself, and that's not possible either, hardly. I need the workings of something higher. And thank God that resides within me and with me. So peace on earth is going to take something divine. We're going to have to be overtaken by something that's out of this world, by beyond something that's beyond the limitations of our human consciousness. We're going to need some saving grace. See, you need some saving grace because you can't save yourself sometimes from yourself. But we try to save other people first, right? That feels more comfortable. Let me see if I can save you. But it's going to take something. We need that saving grace of the Christ consciousness that is within us. We need some of that Holy Spirit activating Christ consciousness energy going on. And you remember, we talked about the Holy, those of you that, I hope you remember, but you can buy the tape series. But we talked about the activity of the Holy Spirit and its role to teach us and guide us and stir up our spirit and bring to us the things that we need and help to jumpstart and activate our spirit, our energy, our thoughts, our feelings, so that we can do and be the highest we can, right? So we need some of that energy going on. Now, we've already talked about the name Jesus in the previous talk. Again, get the tapes. But we talked about the name Jesus as it relates to human consciousness. But now, today, it's more important for us to talk about the Christ, as it relates to our spiritual consciousness, because that is what's going to help save this world. When we're able to come from a different level, beyond just our limited scope of human consciousness. And so Charles Fillmore talks a lot about the Christ, and he breaks it down metaphysically, and I wanted to share some of these thoughts about what the Christ is for us. Now, what he says in one of his definitions, he says, Christ is the divine man, meaning it's our divine nature. It's the divinity of God that resides within each of us. So Christ is a divine man. And he says, Jesus is the name that represents an individual expression of the Christ idea. So the Christ is sort of like a station. It's a divine idea for who we are that is held in the presence of God. That the Christ is that divine idea for the spiritual divine man, woman that is in the mind of God. And that Jesus was able to express this idea, this Christ ideal. That he became an individualized expression of it, of which we can as well. So he goes on to say that let me see where I am. He says that Christ existed long before Jesus. And people are like, what? Because the Christ is that pure ideal of what Jesus what became. And this is what is the only begotten of God. It is the Christ ideal of what you are, I am, Jesus was. And he moved into that expression. And he moved into it and embodied that idea so much that everything about his physical being, mental being, emotional being, and spiritual being was at one. So he became what? The Christ. Then he goes on to say that another definition, he also says that Christ abides with each person as his potential perfection. Christ abides in each person as his potential perfection. There's a potential within each of us for perfection because the Christ ideal is perfect. whole, complete, perfect. Everything is fulfilled, and it's our potential to what? To express that. Now, does that mean that you can go around and say, but I'm perfect? It is our potential that we are unfolding, and the degree to which we unfold our perfection, our righteousness, our goodness, is the degree to which we express this Christ ideal, this Christ seed that exists within us. So the object then is to really to be such a clear vessel that divine idea has full expression, is able to come forth, and we can then reach and meet our highest potential, limited by nothing. So this is a process for us. So it says here, Christ abides in each person as his potential perfection. Jesus Christ, the embodiment of all divine ideas, so the Christ embodies everything that's perfect, everything that's good, everything that's of God that pertains to man. That is all embodied in this divine idea. There's nothing lacking in the Christ ideal. And he says, Jesus Christ, the embodiment of all divine ideas, exists eternally in the mind of being as the only begotten Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And it is the living principle working in man. So this Christ idea contains everything. This is what is the only begotten. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the divine ideas, through love. Right? Through this throne of David, through the house of David, through love, became this wonderful begotten idea of the Christ, of who we are, the perfect being, right? The Messiah, the Anointed One. And it says here, and is the living principle working in man. And I meditated on that this morning. I said, So this Christ is a living principle that is working in you and me right now. Now, what makes something a principle? It means if it's a principle, it's because it's unchanging, right? The principles and laws of mathematics are unchanging. Spiritual principles and laws are also what? Unchanging. And the spiritual principles and laws of God are at work in us as the Christ, and it's unchanging. Which means we have access to the principles of health and wholeness and abundance and peace and substance and harmony and creative ideas. All of that, all of those spiritual principles are at work in us right now. Now, when you have a principle and you misapply the laws of that principle, is it the principle's fault? Does it mean when I say 2 + 2 = 5, does that have anything? Does that change the component of the spiritual, principle of mathematics that says 2 + 2 = 4? So if there's some changing that is taking place, if this is through my error, not the principle, right? And the thing about principle is, it's also infinite. So all the infinite creative essence of who we are, what's possible for us, is working in us. Because the mathematical principle of 2 + 2 = 4, but so does what? 3 + 1, 0 + 4. You know, I could come up with some fractions, but then I'd complicate it too much for myself. But that would be true too, right? So this is the beauty of how it works. It's infinite. I can get to 4 through spiritual principle and mathematics, but in an infinite number of ways. That principle is working in you, and it's working in you an infinite number of ways. And it's consistent, and it's the same. So if you need the essence, because I said that the Christ contains, it's a complete composite of everything good that it speaks to God that is in you and of you and about you. You get that? Follow me? So if you are in need of wholeness and health, that principle is still working right now in you. But it is our task to unfold that principle. Our task to use the principle, to discover the principles of whatever, of love, of healing, of prosperity, of joy, of peace, of understanding, right, of wisdom, of illumination. They're spiritual. It's up to us to learn them, but they're at work in us right now. We got to tap it. That's why this series is called Evolving into Christ Consciousness. Our evolution will depend upon how well we are going to understand and tap and uncover the spiritual principles and laws of being that are available to us as divine offspring, as the Christ of God. That's some powerful stuff, is it not? I think it's some powerful stuff. In speaking of this whole concept, Charles Fillmore also says this. He says, because I say it's the perfect pattern, it's the perfect blueprint, the DNA, and this that DNA and the blueprint lies within our heart, minds, and souls, but we've got to abide in it, we have to express it, we have to claim it, we have to touch it, we have to tap it, we have to believe it, we have to believe that it's us, we have to understand who we are, not just mere limited human beings with an identity. When someone asks you who you are, it's appropriate for us, we say, well, I'm Sylvia, Sumter, this and that, but woo, what will happen when the day when you say, you know what, I'm a spiritual being. I'm a spiritual being living in the spiritual universe governed by spiritual laws. Or you could say, I am anointed and appointed. I am the anointed and the appointed of God. Who are you? I'm the anointed and the appointed of God. I am the expression of the Christ. I am divine in every way. Isn't that powerful? Yes. You know? Okay, so you don't go say it to your boss because they may think you're a little off. But we should find ways in which we can affirm that, because we did talk about using our I am statements, right? And the power of do that. So every now and then, even if you don't do it outside, when you in your sacred chambers, you need to speak your I am statements so that you wake up something in you. I am the anointed and the appointed of God. I am the Christ of God. I am divine in every way. I am that I am. Start affirming and getting used to that vibration and speaking it, because it begins to shift something in your being. Now, Charles Fimmel also said this in speaking about the birth of this Christ, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give birth to this vibration that is already at work in us. We're trying to find the way to express it, right? He says this about the birth of this Christ. He said, man is bringing forth the birth of God's idea of man, the Christ of God. So God is not seeing us some low little worms and some, God is seeing us as the Christ, his divine creation, the emanation of himself in manifestation. So he says, man is bringing forth or birth of God's idea of man, the Christ of God. This is done through the quickening power of the word of truth. Now, we talked about the quickening power of the living spirit of truth, right? That was the Holy Spirit we talked about. And so when we begin to speak this word of truth, it has an energy and a vibration. It begins to quicken us and stir in us and brings it out. That's why I want you to get into your I am statements. Find some powerful affirmations for yourself, about yourself, and of yourself. And if you don't speak it to anybody else, speak it to yourself. Make sure that you get into that vibration. He said, this is done, this bringing forth of this God idea, this Christ, is done through the quickening power of the word of truth. The birth of Christ is the beginning in the inner realms of consciousness of a higher set of faculties, which when grown to full stature, will save the whole man from ignorance, sickness, and death. That when you allow this word to be, to grow in you and to allow yourself to unfold into your high nature, your divine nature, all of a sudden it begins to stimulate these higher faculties. And when you begin to express and evolve into this Christ, then your whole being, it says the whole man, it will save the whole man from ignorance, sickness, and death. When you are coming into your Christ consciousness, you are free from any ignorance, any error consciousness, any thinking that what's happening out here is real. You get a higher revelation, right? It frees you from sickness. It frees you from death. All those things are limited to our human understanding. And so this is some powerful stuff. I mean, that's a whole lot that you get. This Christ nature carries a great deal of power. Would you not say? Okay. So for me, we might want to then look at and see where are we on the spectrum of our growth into Christ consciousness and manifestation? How much have you really evolved? You've been at this, if you like me, you've been at this for a long time. I've been at this for a while. I see some of you been on this journey with me for a long time. Haven't we been traveling this path? So where are you on the spectrum of spiritual growth, your spiritual growth? What is the level? When you look at your life and you look at your affairs and your relationships, where are you on the level of mastery and the level of miracles and demonstrations and proving this truth, proving these principles? Where are you on that level? Can you say that you are on par with what Jesus did and accomplished as he was growing into his Christ nature? Or maybe you might say, is it that you have yet to even scratch the surface of this Christ consciousness in nature? Or do you show some budding signs of divine potential? And I was asking myself these questions, and I said, okay, so if I look at the spectrum, I'm not quite yet walking on water. I'm not quite yet raising the dead. But I think I have scratched beyond the surface of things. And my life is beginning to show me that, I may even show some signs of budding spiritual and divine potential. I think I'm finally moving to a place where, as a metaphysician and a light bearer, I've seen some things and I've been able to witness some demonstrations and have some experiences with some miracles unfolding in my life. And I've been able to watch the quality of my mind when I'm intentional and when I'm focused and when I'm clear and when I'm letting myself be used as an instrument. I'm beginning to have some change going on in my life. Yeah, and it's a wonderful thing. It's taken me a number of years. It's taken me a while. And I am nowhere, but I have seen a shift. And I feel this is important because we are all being called to a higher level of expression. So this is the time, friends, because we've got to elevate our game. And if you have been what I call warming the bench, or maybe warming the pews, it's go time. It is go time, right? And so this is why, I'm doing this master class. It's only going to be 3 weeks, but for now, I might do it later on too. But it's master class for liberating your limitations for light bearers and metaphysicians, because it's go time. We need to get some practical tools. We need to look at what's holding us back. We need to look at where we are so that we can begin to do this work and be the instruments that God is calling us to be. And not letting it be some theory any longer. You've got to be able to start to demonstrate some miracles in your life, because they're not really miracles. They're just simply, a miracle is simply a higher working out of a higher spiritual law. And we've got to start doing that. It's time for us to start claiming this, who we are. So let's start by knowing and claiming that we have been anointed and appointed for such a time as this. Tell somebody, I'm anointed and appointed for such a time as this. And you see, the truth of the matter is that we really have been anointed actually from our birth. We've been anointed from birth. And you might say, well, how is that? Well, did not we just establish that the Christ resides within what? Every living being, right? It resides within everyone. It's the light that lights every man, woman, and child. Now, it may not be expressed right now, but that seed, that energy is your divine nature in everybody. It's there. So you have this anointing of the Christ within you, because the word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which means anointed one or chosen one. So we are the chosen ones. We have been chosen. You know how I know we're the chosen ones? Because we're here. We are here at this time. The fact that we are here already indicates that we are the chosen ones. And that we have been anointed for a high calling and a high purpose. Now, the word to anoint something, anointed means to be called or consecrated for a special purpose. So we have come into this incarnation on this earth at this time for a high and special purpose. If it were not so, you wouldn't be here. So everybody, everybody is here by divine appointment, right? We are here by divine appointment. And that means we are anointed and appointed. And the anointing means that we are called out and consecrated for a special purpose. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about purpose because it's going to be different for each of us. But there's one unifying purpose of which we all are a part of. We all have a special purpose, an anointed, and it's ordained by God, right? And that purpose, of course, is that we are to be the full expression of the Christ, the divine in manifestation, in expression. That's part of our purpose. And so, you know, it's like the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We are the Word becoming flesh. That's our overall divine purpose overall. And Jesus, of course, as the Christ idea, Jesus manifested this Christ idea as the seed. And the baby Jesus coming, he was anointed and appointed to show us the way. That was his divine mission, right? But we all have a divine mission. We are all children of the Most High. And this Christ idea, it's in each of us, but as we come into contact with the Christ in us, we will uncover what our divine purpose is. Sometimes we're looking for the purpose out here, but if you get in touch with who you are spiritually, your divine purpose will start to unfold and be revealed. So Jesus became an individualized expression of the Christ. As you begin to touch this divine idea of who you are, you will become an individualized expression of the Christ. Now, the overall is we are to be the Christ, but your particular mission, your particular purpose, your particular work will be yours, because everyone's going to be called according to God's purpose for you, for your life. Some will be teachers. Some will be educators. Some are going to be anointed to be doctors. Some will be anointed to be encouragers. Some will be anointed to be scientists. Some will be anointed to simply counsel other people, to have a good ear. Some will be anointed maybe to do a visionary or to do something creative in the physical world. Some may be anointed to clean houses and buildings, and that's an anointing. God is going to use you according to the anointing that is placed upon you, according to the Christ in you, which will become your hope and glory. So don't look for your purpose out here. Get in touch with the divine in you and start touching and evolving that Christ spirit, and your divine purpose, your particular anointing, will start to be revealed. And all of it is sacred. All of it is good. There's no high position and no low position. There are no people who are better. The anointed doctor is no different than the anointed salesperson or the teacher or whatever. Because when you're anointed, it means you are called for a special purpose. You're chosen for that. And it's a good thing. It's a God thing. So this is a powerful time for us to figure out where we are on the spectrum of our spiritual growth. And the question is, what is seeking to be birthed in you? What is the anointing upon your life? What is it that you have come here to do and to be? And start asking, what have I come here to be, Lord? What have I come here to do? What is your anointing upon my life? What am I here to give birth to? What's in my heart? What's the purpose? Because these are some deep questions. And here's some questions I want you to think about, because you're already chosen. You got to figure out whether you're ready to give your sacred yes. But if you are, here's some questions you want to ask. Where is it that I need to be saved? Because the Christ is that saving energy. From what, perhaps, do I need saving? That's one. What do I need to overcome? What is calling for transformation in my life? What needs to be healed in my life? Because all these things are pertaining to the activity of the Christ when it's in expression. Healer, transformer, revelator, comforter, right? Producing abundance and substance, feeding, all these things. So what is it that needs to be transformed? And what needs to be healed in me? And what's holding me back? Where am I in my relationships? How am I actually producing what I need at the moment and when I need it? What limitations do I need to be liberated from? What's going on? How strong is my spiritual connection to the divine? Does God show up the moment I ask? Does the Holy Spirit move when I say come? Does it come and move? Where's my connection? What level is happening here? What is God doing through you right now? Can you say what God is doing? I can say what God is doing through me right now. What is God doing? Because that's going to be your anointing in that moment. These are some questions to be able to ask to see whether you are evolving and growing and progressing and using your gifts and your talents. This is a powerful time. Spirit needs your sacred yes. Your sacred yes. So I'm going to invite you to join me, you know, for the first of the new year. Let's get the new year started off right. And we are going to have this wonderful course. And I said before, don't come if you're not really willing to do some work. It's fine if you want to take other courses, but I really am looking for those of us who want to join into this vibration of how are we going to stand up for humanity? How are we going to, you know, live our anointed and appointed lives? How are we going to be our best selves? How are we going to live our best lives? What are we going to share? What are we going to give? What are we going to heal and transform in the world? These kinds of things. And that means we got to figure out how do we free ourselves to be clear and wonderful instruments. Light bearers, metaphysicians, light workers, energy workers. And you're going to be initiated and activated at the end of the course through a divine light meditation that I learned. And so we'll come to be, you know, a vessel, to be willing to be used, to let that Christ come forth. So, in the meantime, as we celebrate the birth of the Christ light that came into this world that's in us, I want us to continue to let this light of the Christ come into your heart, into your mind, into your soul, so that everybody can see your radiance. So when they come into your presence, they can feel your vibrations, they feel the love. They feel your faith. They can see and feel who you are beyond the limited human consciousness. When they look at you, they have to say, they have to stop and, what? There's something deep over in there. There's something about you. You want to have that kind of radiance and presence. So you've been anointed and you've been appointed. And it's time to step into. You ready?
Yes.
All right. Blessings and namaste. Not blessings.